what's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. This is Tariq Nasheed, broadcasting live out here in Los Angeles. Let everybody know that we're on live right now. It's going to be a great show. What we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. So don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs, LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. What's up? Are you a fan of hip-hop and self-help and personal development? Then check out my man Poe at Poe Politicken. Founded in 2008, Poe Politicken is a self-help meets hip-hop brand. And with each interview, they teach the babies and they share success secrets with you, the listener. Past guests of the show includes Jay Prince, Yo Gotti, Currency, MC Light, Dead Prez, rapper Big Pooh, and many more. Poe Politicken has featured over 500 guests on his show. Poe Politicken also showcases a lot of the up-and-coming new artists in the game. So subscribe right now on iTunes and Spotify and follow Poe Politicken on social media at Poe Politicken. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered! Yo, we're here. We're back. We're here. We are back. How y'all doing, man? We're here, ready to chop up good game. How are you guys doing? By the way, Hidden Colors 5, we're working on that now. Hidden Colors 5 is going to hopefully be available this summer in theaters all over the world. We're working diligently to get Hidden Colors 5 out. And if you don't have Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, you need to get that at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat room. Shout out to POV Hilarious D. Shout out to all the other mods in the room. We're going to have a very good discussion on tonight's broadcast. Tonight we're talking about the diversity con game that's being run, or that has been run. And that's something that we as ADOS, Foundation of Black Americans, we're going to have to stop falling for the diversity con game. When we look at the whole diversity con, that narrative is only presented to Black Americans, to foundational Black Americans. If you notice, when other groups step up to the table, when other groups get together to talk about the things they need for their community, when they go to the state or the government to try to get any tangibles for their group, the topic of diversity never comes up. Everything is very specific when it comes to other groups. When it comes to immigration, everything is very specific. White people don't really, among themselves, talk about diversity unless they're trying to run a con game and get their 185th cousin into a job. The Hispanic community, when they're talking about getting tangibles for themselves, they don't talk about diversity. They talk about Hispanic rights. When Native Americans, there's treaties that show that they're supposed to give things to the descendants of freedmen, and they act like the treaties don't exist. And that's another thing, family. When it comes to us getting tangibles, we got to be very specific about the tangibles that we get, and we got to be very specific that whatever we receive is quantifiable and measurable. We don't need any other laws to pacify us. We don't need any other laws. We don't need no hate crime laws. We don't need any other laws. That's one thing we don't want them to do. And we make a lot of mistakes saying we want to get a certain law passed. We got to have tangibles. We got to have tangible resources, because when we get that, we can enforce the law. The problem is there are laws out here that simply won't get enforced. There's already hate crime laws. You're not supposed to kill folks. You're not supposed to do anything. But the law don't mean nothing if the I'm white and I say so law can get invoked in anything. And that's what it ultimately boils down to. It boils down to the I'm white and I say so law. It's illegal to do a lot of stuff, but when it comes to Black folks, you can get away with it based on the I'm white and I say so law. So I'm not too big on getting certain laws passed unless there's some tangibles attached to those laws, where we're going to get something specifically and tangibly. We got to be very specific. No laws without tangibles. All that crime reform, all of it is a con game if there are no tangibles to it. But the thing is, when you talk to other groups, when other groups go to their elected officials or potential candidates, the Asian community, they don't talk about no diversity. All these other groups, they are prided on being self-sufficient and pulling themselves up, which they're not really self-sufficient. You know, they eat off us. They're not really self-sufficient. They come and everybody eats off of us. I'm talking about ADOS, Foundation of Black Americans. People come over and capitalize off us, and then we're told that these people are so self-sufficient and they're the model minorities that we should look up to. That's a major con game. All these other groups, when they get here, they already have a foundation to stand on. They already have an economic base ready to support them. So, of course, they're going to thrive. Foundational Black Americans, we've never had that. From day one, we started off with nothing, and we had to build from nothing. We built this country from nothing. After slavery, when the white supremacists took everybody's money in those freedmen banks, and that's another thing we have to look at when it comes to reparations, getting that money back from the freedmen's banks that was stolen by the white supremacists, backed by the government. When Black people got out of slavery, we aggregated our money, started with nothing. The government didn't give us anything. We pooled our little pennies together and put millions of dollars in the freedmen bank, and they simply took the money. So Black folks had to start again from scratch. No other group can do anything like that. We keep having to start over from scratch and still find a way to maintain. No other group can do that. No other group has done that and been systematically attacked economically, socially, culturally, economically, educationally. No other group has had that. I don't want to hear nothing about no damn model minority group and how well some other group is doing. They're doing good because we are the foundation of these groups. And I want my foundational Black Americans to realize that. But all these other groups, when you have them discuss policies for themselves, diversity never comes up. But the minute Black folks step up and we start making demands, all of a sudden, the conversation starts to get into emotional talk, intangible, symbolic talk. We start hearing about how great diversity is. Remember Cory Booker a few weeks ago when they were talking about, he was on the Breakfast Club and they said, hey, what's the Black agenda? He started doing the coon laugh. Well, I want to bring people together. No. And Black people, understand this. There is no diversity. Diversity is a con game that they've been running on us for the longest. There is no diversity. That's just the long and short of it. There's no diversity. That's just a code word so that Black people can be pacified and let everybody step on them. Diversity means Black people come around and let us walk on top of you. That's all diversity means. If it means something else, please correct me. There's no damn diversity. Every other group competes for resources and wealth and tangibles, and they compete against us. We're told that we got to hold everybody's hand and sing Kumbaya when everybody's cutting our damn throats and undermining us. There is no damn diversity. Never was. So Black people, don't let any of these other groups shame you for looking out for yourself. Because the only time a group looking out for themselves is negative is when Black Americans do it. Immigrants can do it and there's not a problem. The minute we do it, all of a sudden everybody starts getting butthurt. Look at how butthurt everybody is over the ADOS movement. Every Black Americans, foundational Black Americans, are talking about looking out for each other first. Everybody's crying foul now. Now everybody's crying foul. And I want y'all to listen to some of the rhetoric that they're saying. But now, understand this. We've been coming at these politicians so heavy, so hard. They are conceding on the surface. Because one of the tactics that they're trying to use, and they see it's not working, is slandering anybody who's promoting the ADOS, Foundational Black American, narrative. Their tactic of slandering us, that's not going to really work. So what they're trying to do, they're trying to concede a little bit, but we got to stay on their necks. There was an article that came out, I think, in the New York Times today. It said, Democrats embrace race-conscious policies, including reparations. So now, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, these people are talking about discussing reparations. They haven't said anything specific, and that's where we come in. So now we have forced them to acknowledge the fact that reparations, that's a necessity for us to even come to the table to hear anything anybody has to say. The whole thing about eating barbecue chicken wings, that's just not going to work. The diversity thing is not going to work. That's a way to get us to support all these immigrant groups that's coming over here doing everything they can to undermine us. As we see, immigration does not work. Black people are wising up. We're seeing that we just simply cannot keep supporting policies that directly work against us. There are no benefits in us supporting these policies. As our brother Claude Anderson says, these are horizontal policies, and we live in a system that's vertical. where there's one race on top, another race on bottom. So we have to move up vertically, not horizontally. We shouldn't get into to issues that affect everybody. Like women's rights, that affects everybody. LGBT, that affects everybody. There's LGBT in every community. That's a horizontal issue. Immigration, that's a horizontal issue. That's immigration all over the world. So we got to be in the business of power, obtaining tangible resources. So now they're talking about reparations. And we're going to have to hold them to that. See, this is the first time we've been on code like this in a long time. And we should have been on code like this a long time ago. We shouldn't have to wait till so many tragedies pop off before we start getting on code. But the thing is, family, we got to stay the course. We got to be on code like this for the long run. I was just doing an interview the other day, and I was talking about how it's important for Black people to learn how to think decades down the line. We got to start thinking about how we're going to, our actions will affect our offspring. See, Black folks, we get into the mindset of thinking about what we're going to do immediately. How can we get something immediately? That quick thinking thing. No, that's checkers. We got to play chess. We got to think 20 years down the line. And I've always thought like that. I've always been that way. I was talking to this reporter and I was telling him about my book. We were talking about my first commercially successful book, The Art of Mackin', and I wrote that over 20 years ago when I was a young dude. And I understood at that time, because when you're in your 20s, you out clubbing, you single, you don't really want to buckle yourself down and discipline yourself and stay in the house writing no damn book. That's the last thing you want to do. But I knew if I wrote this book, if I just disciplined myself for a few months and write this book, 20 years later, man, this thing will still be successful. And sure enough, The Art of Mackin', still huge selling book, best-selling classic book, historic book, still makes me money. And I carry that philosophy and that mentality in everything I do. I think about what am I going to do to affect culture 20 years from now. So we got to start thinking like that. So we got to be in this thing for the long haul. We don't take no victory laps. A lot of people were very celebratory because the Democrats are talking about embracing conversations about reparations. We're not going to run a victory lap yet. We're going to have to stay the course. We're going to have to stay the course with this. And shout out to everybody who's staying the course and staying on code. But the thing is, when it comes to Black people talking about what we want to get, listen to the way these people start talking about it. This was on a radio show on some guy named Malcolm Nance on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yvette Carnell shared this on Twitter. Shout out to Yvette Carnell. And I want y'all to hear this conversation of these white people talking about ADOS. And I want y'all to listen to this. Listen to this conversation.
An explosion of bots. And one of the interesting groups that have been doing it is one which was a legitimate group of about five people.
Now hear that? He said, now ADOS is just five people. It's a legitimate group of five people and the rest are bots.
Which was a legitimate group of about five people on par with the, you know, the new Black Panther Party.
Whoa.
Called ADOS.
And whoa. Did you hear this lying suspected white supremacist? You see that? Did y'all see what he just pulled? He just pulled them. I'm white and I say so. ADOS, they're in line with the Black Panther Party. Oh, they're using all the scare tactics, white supremacist code words. Here they go. Nobody who's a foundational Black American using that term, not one person has mentioned anything about being with the Black Panthers or nothing like that. But again, we got to understand these kind of lies are going to get out there. So listen.
Interesting groups that have been doing it is one which was a legitimate group of about five people on par with the, you know, the new Black Panther Party called ADOS. And this is African or American Descendants of Slaves. And we've recently found that this small fringe group, which is calling for trillions in reparations and that American descendants of slaves be considered different and separate from all other Africans in the American continent, you know, African descendants, is attacking Kamala Harris and Cory Booker as not being black enough. And we're finding that this thing exploded, and suddenly right-wingers like Candace Owens and Ann Coulter are backing this bizarre fringe group. But remember how the new Black Panther Party was turned into the MS-13 of the 2016 election?
Yeah. Look at this. Do y'all hear this suspected white supremacist lying bastard? He keeps using these scare tactic code words. The new Black Panthers and the MS-13. Oh, my God. He's using every white supremacist. These people are desperate right now. What the hell is he talking about? This fringe group, it's a fringe group on par with the Black Panthers and the Wakandans and the MS-13s. And they're, is he black? Is this guy black? Okay, he sounds like a white supremacist. I didn't know he was black. He sounded like a white supremacist. The way he's talking, okay, that even makes more sense. They got one of their bought and paid for Sambos. Okay, he's a puppet. Those are talking points given to him by white supremacists. He's just a puppet. I don't care if he's black. He's a puppet. Those are white supremacist talking words. He's a puppet. I didn't know. He sounds like a white dude, the way he's talking. Oh, that's why they let their Sambo go out there and do all the dirty work for him, for them. Okay.
Wingers like Candace Owens and Ann Coulter are backing this bizarre fringe group. But remember how the new Black Panther Party was turned into the MS-13 of the 2016 election?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening.
Okay. Okay. So it makes sense that he's black. Okay. Got it. Okay. I didn't know the way he was talking, because you don't see his face. It's a group. It's a room full of white people, and I guess he's on the phone. And understand, when y'all see, let's be very clear, because this is what I specify when I expose a lot of the stuff on Twitter. When y'all see Negroes like this, using those type of talking points, the white supremacists are the ones who put the battery in their back. See, I never let the white supremacists off the hook. I never let the white supremacists off the hook. These are Negroes who have a script from the white supremacists. Look at the code words he was using. Fringe group, new Black Panther, MS-13, stuff. Just, these are scare tactics for white people. And he's an ex-CIA, so you know this Negro is the spook who stayed by the butter biscuits. But this tactic of them trying to minimize ADOS, and what I like about it, it's a leaderless thing. That's what I like about it, because there's no leader to it. And it's not a fringe group. There's 44 million Black American ADOS. That's not a fringe group. See how they keep trying to minimize it? And that's the CIA using their code words and sending the message on how to minimize that. They're trying to make it seem like it's a group of a handful of people making some unwarranted demands. We do need reparations as Black Americans. And they keep trying to use these criminalizing terms. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. That's why all of us have to be on code. So they can't just minimize it to a fringe group. All of us have to be on code. And what's being a Sambo? What does it mean without Roland Martin putting his two cents in? Now, Roland Martin, on his show, he had on that dude, R.C. Maxwell. Now, R.C. Maxwell, if y'all remember, I had a debate with him on my broadcast not too long. Well, about a year or so ago, I think. Yeah, about a year ago. Now, he's this little Sambo who hangs out with the alt-right. But really, this guy, R.C. Maxwell, he's an actor. I mean, they hired this guy. I mean, he did some stuff on Jimmy Kimmel before. I mean, he's really an actor. So they kind of, you know, the left wing and right wing hires this guy. He's the Black Trojan horse for white supremacy. But he was on Roland Martin's show. And this seemed like it was scripted. They seemed like they brought him on there so he could start using our talking points so that Roland could try to discredit him. So the guy get on, he R.C. Maxwell, he gets on there talking about foundational black Americans using our terms. And then Roland,
that's stupid.
It sounded real scripted. I want y'all to listen to this. And look at this common talking point that a lot of people make when we talk about immigration. Hold on.
I want to acknowledge the fact that what Bernie Sanders is really talking about, he's talking about how Kamala Harris, who, by the way, is not even a foundational black American, Cory Booker.
What the hell is that?
What is the foundation of black?
A descendant of a slave in America, a foundation of black American. The kind of people who are getting skirted to the side by Democrats.
Do you know how idiotic that is?
Sure, you may say it sounded idiotic to me.
Whose 92nd birthday is it today? Whose 92nd birthday is it today? Whose 92nd birthday is it today?
Okay.
Whose 92nd?
Who,
Those same black, hold up. Did those same black folks not want Obama?
Who is it? I can tell you.
Today is the birthday of Sidney Poitier.
Those same black folks are saying, what did Obama do for us?
In several days is the birthday of Harry Belafonte.
Okay, I can tell you those same
folks. The same black.
Lord, and in this, the coon, both, it's just a coon fest. It's coonapalooza. It's a right wing coon and a left wing coon. Fat, skinny coon. It's just, it's the sport, the bowl and the spoon coon. That's what they look like, a plate and a spoon of cooning. So they got him on here. Both of them are babbling, and Roland is making that same jive-ass talking point when black Americans, ADOS, when we talk about circling our wagons and the contributions that immigrants have made, because I've always brought up the point, in the last 50 years, immigration has not helped black people whatsoever. And nobody can debunk that. Nobody can debunk that. That's the long and short of it. We've assisted immigration as a group. And all immigrants have come up off of us as a group. But when we talk about how immigration has helped black Americans in the last 50 years, nobody can come up with an answer. So what they do, they act like they misunderstood what you asked them. And they start talking about the five black folks who immigrated here over 50 years ago. Notice that anytime you talk about, hey, what have immigrants done in 50 years? Marcus Garvey, Sidney Poitier, Harry Belafonte, Shirley Chisholm, Malcolm X's mama. So they talk about five Negroes from like 100 damn years ago. And that proves our point. I don't want to hear about somebody from 170, 80. I don't know. That don't matter. I'm talking about in the last 50 years. How has immigration helped foundational black Americans? And the fact that they have to name the same five people who were here over 50 years ago continues to prove our point. Okay?
Hold up. Are these the same black people who talk about Marcus Garvey, who was not from, wasn't a descendant? Are these the same black people who talk about Malcolm X? I'm not done. Here's the game that guys like you want to play. Because, see, you don't want to deal with real black history.
I do.
No, you don't.
Let's talk about
because
black
see,
history.
If
Let's
you if you want to deal if you want to deal with real black history, and you want to talk about who's descendants, who's not foundational, you cannot
Let's
get.
Talk about black
I'm
history.
Not done. You cannot get past Malcolm X. You cannot get past Shirley Chisholm. You cannot get past Marcus Garvey. You cannot get past Harry Belafonte. You cannot
you
get
keep
past
naming the same five people.
I need to do a roll call on black people who have been not from here. But
you just did them the same five ones. I could do a roll call. It's the same five people. You just named the same five people over and over again. That proves our point. They keep naming the same five individuals. That don't count, fool. You can't keep naming the same five individuals. when we talk about how immigration as a group has helped us as a group, you naming the same five individuals don't mean anything. And also, we can break that down. When you name Marcus Garvey, understand, as of, and Marcus was very thorough when he came here, but the reason why Marcus Garvey came here, as John Henry Clark taught us, Marcus Garvey tried to get Pan-Africanism popping in Jamaica and the Caribbean and failed. Marcus Garvey tried to get it popping there and failed multiple times. So y'all don't know how stupid they sound trying to use Marcus Garvey as an example. He was an individual. He was an outlier. The other people in the Caribbean weren't down with that shit. That's why he had to come here. Marcus Garvey failed over there with Pan-Africanism. But when he came here and brought the idea, we were already on that, because we've had Mark Delaney. We had other people talking Pan-Africanism here. So, we gravitated towards that, and we were all good with it. See, let's talk real history. Not Harry Belafonte, Sidney Poitier. No, nigga. Let's talk some real history. Pan-Africanism failed in the Caribbean. They weren't on that. Come on. Let's do real history here. Roland is trying. He's really trying. My God. Let me put my Mackie music on. Let me get my blood pressure down with all this Samboism. Let me see if we got some more cooning.
And stood up on behalf of black folks, but I don't know if you can accept that. I'll be back and roll about in a future in just a moment.
Okay, yeah. And this sounded real scripted, by the way. This sounded real scripted. It sounded real scripted. Because, again, that R.C. Maxwell, he's an actor. This guy is not no activist. And the fact that he's using our talking points, again, a lot of those right wingers, they're trying to use our talking points to undermine the Democrats. So we don't take them seriously. I've had people say Ann Coulter and all those people are joining ADOS. No, they're not. Stop being dumb. Stop being dumb. They're not joining no damn ADOS. They're just using our talking points to try to undermine the Democrats. But we got to be very clear, and we got to stay on code and stay on point and watch these little con games that they're trying to run on us, family, especially the blame a Negro con game. See, that's why all that intersectionality and diversity stuff, black folk, let's stop falling for that con game. Remember when this Jussie Smollett case, he turned himself in, he was arrested and charged, they took his mugshot, booked him, he was released on $100,000 bail. And I asked the question, because I already knew he was going to be charged. I told y'all a few days ago they were definitely going to charge him. So we knew that was coming. And they're making an example out of him. And what's interesting, just hearing all of the white people talk about, oh, how wrong is this guy? He's being so divisive by making a false report on somebody based on race. And again, nobody's caping for Jussie. Nobody's caping for him. But boy, y'all white people got a lot of nerve to say that. Because it's part of white supremacist culture for white people to call the police and make false reports against innocent black people. Jussie, he made up a make-believe white person. These white supremacists be out here calling the police on real black men, women, and children. You have Teresa Klein out there in New York who called the police on a 9-year-old boy and lied and said he sexually assaulted her. She was never arrested. See, we're going to start arresting folks, and y'all going to talk about who needs to be arrested. A lot of y'all in the dominant white society needs to be arrested immediately. We're going to arrest Jussie, arrest all of them. Arrest Barbecue Becky, Corner Store Carolyn, Swimming Pool Sarah, Permit Patty. Arrest that dude who got John Crawford killed in Ohio, that white supremacist suspect who called the police and lied and said John Crawford was in Walmart pointing a gun at women and children, and they looked at the surveillance camera and he wasn't, and the police came and just blew that brother away. And the dude admitted that he lied. and he was never charged. See, these white supremacists be out here getting folks damn killed. I don't want to hear nothing about them talking about somebody filing a false damn charge. They do that shit all the time. It was a lawmaker in New York. They're trying to make it a hate crime for them to call the police on black folks all the time because the black lawmaker, somebody did it to him. The shit happened to me. Y'all saw my house got raided because some white supremacists called and made a false claim, and they were real light-footed about it after they done drew guns on me and my children. The white supremacists do that all the time. Carolyn Bryant, the woman who got Emmett Till killed, who lied in the 1950s and got that little boy lynched, and then later on admitted that she lied. That woman is still walking around now. She's in her 80s. She's down there in Mississippi, still alive. A lot of folks thought she was dead. Carolyn Bryant is still alive right now. Do you know, and I talked about this before, Carolyn Bryant, do you know how many people died behind her ass? The Emmett Till murder, that was really the kickoff for the civil rights movement. The Emmett Till murder was the kickoff of the civil rights movement. At that time, black people said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. That's when the civil rights movement really, really popped off. And look at all the black people who died in the civil rights movement. Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, many of the Black Panthers. So many people died, so many riots, and all these people died, and Carolyn Bryant's ass still running her old mayonnaise Geritol ass around in Mississippi. You feel me? But the thing is, with this Jussie Smollett case, when the attack was first announced, the white LGBT community, they were on that intersectionality diversity thing real quick. They were on that heavy so they can capitalize off of it. The white LGBT community, and that's why I was pointing it out so much. I'm like, look at how they're capitalizing off this, because I knew it was a fake and I knew it was going to eventually blow up. That's why I wanted to point out all these white organizations that's just raking in the donations all of a sudden. They were raking in the donations. And the thing is, they kept going out of their way to say, this is not just racial, this is homophobic. They wanted to emphasize homophobic because they wanted to capitalize off of it. They were downplaying the racial element and upplaying the homophobia element to it. I'm like, okay, that's what you want to do, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, fine. Now that it has blown up, now it's a black man again. Now the white LGBT community, they backed up off of it completely. So now it's a black thing. Now remember, when the story first broke and black folks weren't buying it, the white controlled media, they were out here talking about black men should be ashamed of themselves for being so silent on this. So we were getting thrown under the bus for not saying nothing about this obvious hoax. Remember the Vibe article? It was an article on BET. All the silence, black straight men, their silence about this is just toxic. We were like, hey, leave us out of this. Leave us out of this. They were trying to shame us. And again, those were instructions from the white LGBT community. They're always trying to find ways to get their Negro minions to shame us. So after everything blew up, now that it's been revealed to be a hoax, do you know that they're still putting their Negro minions out there to flip it and find a way to throw black folks under the bus? Now look at Amanda Seales, that unfunny chick who had an HBO special. She's on, what's that show? What's that show, the Issa Rae show? I'm having a brain fart. What's the name of the Issa Rae show? Amanda Seales, she's on that show. And Amanda Seales, she's all clicked up with Tarana Burke. Amanda Seales just be on social media. Insecure, that's the name of the show, yes. So Amanda Seales stays on social media. Her mom is from Grenada, the island of Grenada, so she has a Grenadian flag on her page, so she thinks she's more exotic than all the other Negras. She's always down talking Black Americans, foundational Black Americans, because she thinks she's something different because her mom's from Grenada. So she's always been real funny style. And her anti-Black man hatred is just, it's so illogical. It's almost satirical. So she got on her social media. She did a video talking about the Jussie Smollett situation. She's still low-key caping for him because, again, she's clicked in with that whole Me Too Time's Up crowd. And understand, when people look at her HBO special, how does she get a deal to do a special on HBO as unfunny as she is? Now we see why. She shows that she's going to toe the line for the white supremacists, and she understands that throwing Black people, particularly Black men, under the bus, that'll get you some extra brownie points in white society, especially in the industry. Because understand, HBO, they're putting out that Michael Jackson documentary that's slandering him. So they have a vested interest in having their Negroes slander folks. But listen to this illogical ass woman. Excuse me. It's cold in here. I'm snotting up. I'm sniffling and shit. But listen to her use this twist, this asinine twist of logic.
As if R. Kelly is talking about
Jussie, and then she start invoking R. Kelly just out the blue, and then just listen.
Kelly over here talking about Jussie's possible lie set us back, as if R. Kelly is still not walking around free.
I mean, what the hell does R. Kelly have to do with anything? I mean, she really wanted to crowbar that in there. That's her dog whistling to her white masses. Like, look, white massa, I'ma stay the course and keep diverting things back to R. Kelly. I know what you want, white mommy, white daddy. I'ma keep diverting things back to R. Kelly, even though it's completely out of context. This has zero to do with R. Kelly.
Lie set us back, as if R. Kelly is still not walking around free. I want to get to a place of understanding of just like, what do y'all really think all this is? You think one actor coming up with a story that it, if false, is problematic, you think that set us back? No.
What is she? I hate when people who think that they're deeper than what they really are just starts babbling. She's one of these. She really thinks she's deeper than what she really is. And she's not. It's just coon babble.
What set us back is the fact that not enough Black men came out to vote. And therefore, we got this fucking ass president in office. What sets us back is the coons who allow for policies to be.
Did y'all hear this fool? Did y'all hear that fool? Sit up here, use this Jussie situation to throw Black men under the bus. So now it's Black men's fault because we didn't vote and now we got Trump? What kind of asinine logic is that? I mean, you really had to do all types of twists and turns of logic to get there. That don't even make no damn sense. This is how desperate they are to keep those butter biscuits, because she doesn't consider herself an ADOS, a Black American, a foundational Black American, meaning a descendant of American slavery. She thinks she's Grenadian because her mama is, because, all right, that's what you want, that's cool. I think her dad is from here. So she thinks she's different. So they'll toe the line for white supremacy. But look at these ridiculous leaps of logic these people are using. And This is them trying to earn their butter biscuits from the white supremacists on top, because this whole let's blame black people, it's coming from the top. And this is Van Jones. Van Jones, he was on CNN today talking about the Jussie situation. And here he goes. You can clearly tell that Van Jones got his marching orders from white mommy, white daddy. They told him what to say. And listen to the logic in his
thing. He has been
his
in the black community. Empire as a...
Listen to this.
And I don't think people understand how important he has been.
He's talking about Jussie. He's talking about Jussie. Okay.
And I don't think people understand how important he has been in the black community. Empire as a show.
Yeah.
To have him as a beloved character, I think did a great deal to knock back homophobia in the black community. The fact that Empire has been celebrated, the fact that he has been celebrated, and you see homophobia in the black community through his eyes on this show. This is a Jackie Robinson against homophobia in the black community. And
there's so much to unpack here. Oh, my God. There's so much to unpack here, family. Where do I start? God damn. Where do I start, family? There's so much to unpack here, just right there. First of all, so you know that when you got so much to unpack, you don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start. It's just so much. Did this fool try to say that Jussie was an icon, like he's like a Jackie Robinson? He's an icon like Jackie. Man, Jackie Robinson hit balls. Jussie Smollett suck balls. It's totally different. He's not an icon. And then, Van Jones, you contradicted yourself because you were talking about how much of an icon he is in the black community, but the black community is so homophobic. You can't have it both ways, Van. You got to get your lie together. You can't sit up and say that he's an icon in black community, but the black community is homophobic. If we were homophobic, he wouldn't be an icon, fool. You just contradicted yourself. Dude, what are you talking about? Hold on.
I don't think people understand how important he has been in the black community. Empire as a show.
Yeah.
To have him as a beloved character, I think did a great deal to knock back homophobia in the black community. The fact that Empire.
Notice how Van keeps saying the term homophobia in the black community. He says it about four times. You notice he keeps saying homophobia in the black. He keeps saying it over and over. His bosses told him to do that. His bosses told him to just keep repeating homophobia in the black community. He says it. I'm like, I'm counting this dude. He says it about three or four times, just back to back. It's overkill. It's clearly a talking point that they're trying to drill and get across. That's that whole black people are equally as bigoted, so we shouldn't be guilty if we practice bigotry against black folks because they're bigots too. That's that white supremacist narrative that they like to put on us. It's okay to mistreat black folks because they're just as bigoted against homosexuals, which is a damn lie. That is a damn lie. Hold on. Let me play this fool again.
It's been in the black community. Empire as a show.
Yeah.
To have him as a beloved character, I think did a great deal to knock back homophobia in the black community. The fact that Empire has been celebrated, the fact that he has been celebrated, and you see homophobia in the black community through his eyes on this show. This is a Jackie Robinson against homophobia in the black community, an icon, a beloved icon. And now you have the fall of an icon at a time when we need icons. When we need heroes, when we need people who stand up. So the level of betrayal, if this is true,
yes,
is so deep. You can see it in your voice. You can see it in your face. It's almost hard to get the words out because of how beloved he has been and how hurt we were when we thought that he had been hurt. And so I want to just say.
Okay. Van Jones, dude, bruh, you got a full time ride on the coon train, bruh. Van Jones, bruh, your cred is gone. If you ever had any, your cred is gone. You a full whole coon, bruh, for getting your ass on TV saying that. You a buster, my dude. You a goddamn buster getting on TV saying that garbage you said, dude. You a whole coon, my bruh. You a whole one, brother. That homo... We're talking about this man who made up a story that black folks already knew. We knew it was bullshit. We knew that this was garbage. Black folks weren't buying this. We didn't want no parts of it. No, we ain't touching that. It was the white LGBT community. They were the ones promoting that. Now that it has blown up, everybody's taking shots at damn black people. Everybody wants to throw black folks under the bus. He was an icon. They're really trying to blow him up as something that he's not. He's not an icon in black society. He was an icon in the gay white community. They loved him. The white gay community were propping him up. When that fake attack happened and he did his concert or whatever, that was mostly a white gay crowd. The gay white community was propping him up because they were using him to Trojan horse in their own agenda. But they're not putting this hoax and this fraud on the gay community. They keep throwing it on us. Yeah, he's not an icon. This dude, Jesse, he's not an icon in black society at all. What has he done in black society to uplift black society collectively? He's an actor. And truth be told, a lot of black folks ain't watching Empire like that no more. A lot of black people are simply not watching Empire like that no more. Empire is not no must-see TV no more that we just got to rush home and see Jamal and Hakeem. No, y'all acting like this is some kind of civil rights thing. It's a late night soap opera. It ain't that damn serious. Jesse has not uplifted black folks collectively. He's not an icon. He has sex with dudes. You having sex with a damn dude don't make you no icon. Anybody knocking this guy? There's no homophobia against this guy. And we need to stop them from using that lie, telling that lie about homophobia in the black community. Because what the white supremacists, they orchestrate that garbage. That's some garbage that the white supremacists like to promote. And they like to cherry pick a couple of black folks who told some gay jokes like Kevin Hart, and they ignored all those white comedians who told the same type of jokes. They ignore them. So they can create a narrative that black people are bigoted too. That's the only reason they talk that homophobia in the black community. Black folks don't have any control over laws to disenfranchise or shut out anybody who's gay. Black people, we embrace gay people more than any other group. Other groups don't embrace the gay people within their communities. They really don't. That's why the white gay community, they form their own separate community. Understand, real homophobia comes from white society. You can't go to middle society, middle America, be a white homosexual and be embraced. That's where the homophobia is. They're the ones who are creating these laws against gay marriage and all this stuff. It's the white people doing that. White gay people cannot go to a regular white church and be embraced. Them white churches don't play that. Unless you're a Catholic priest and you out here messing with boys. But the homophobia is in white society. They don't like other gay white people in their society like that. That's where the homophobia is. Black people, we embrace gay black folks because we're in the same, but we don't have a reason to hate on another black person because of their damn sexuality. We went to school with gay people. There's gay people in your family. Every damn church is gay people, and you embrace them and you don't trip on that. We got to stop them from telling that damn the black community is inherently homophobic. That's a damn lie. That is a lie. That is a lie. And then they'll try to cherry pick some cases where, well, somebody, a black tranny got beat up, and black trannies be getting beat up per capita by the numbers. And then they try to forge the numbers talking about black transsexuals getting beat up. Usually any black person who's gay or transsexual who gets beat up, usually they are in a high crime damn area anyway. Usually they're into sex work. They're somewhere doing some street shit, and they are in a neighborhood and in an area that's already high crime. They're out here trying to hit licks, and then the street shit happens to them. Because when you look at the areas that this stuff happens to, it happens to all the black folks in these certain areas. It happens in these dilapidated hood areas where there's violence that's normalized. So don't let them talk about violence among black people in the gay community. No, no, no. We're not going to let them keep telling that lie. Yeah, who? Whenever people get harmed, it's like trannies out there on the track. They done snuck out there on Figueroa. If you're out here in California, you know, they out there on Santa Monica somewhere, and somebody done something to them, and they done tried to hit a lick and rob a trick. Shit like that. It ain't like they're working at a regular job and then some black person ran up and knocked them in the head or something. No. They need to stop that damn lie. That's why I didn't like what they were doing with the R. Kelly thing. With that R. Kelly thing, the narrative that they kept trying to push with that R. Kelly thing, which was dangerous, they were talking about, well, R. Kelly got away with this so long because of rape culture in black society. Rape and sexual abuse culture. See, that's that thing that shea butter Twitter and these Negro minions who are paid by the Time's Up white women and the Me Too white women and all these people. They're paid by these folks to go out there and push that narrative. And there is no rape culture in black society. There's no rape culture whatsoever in black society. Our culture, black American ADOS culture, we're the only culture that will openly fight against rape culture or rapists or pedophiles. And I talk about this all the time. Not only do we not have a rape pedophile culture, and I ain't talking about what happens behind closed doors. You know, we can't control a lot of stuff that we don't know that happens behind closed doors. We can't control it. We don't know. But there is no open rape or pedophile culture in black society. In other societies, they have open pedophile cultures. Do you understand what I'm saying? Other societies have open pedophile cultures, meaning in white society, you can go certain places and get a child. They have little white organizations like NAMLA. They got pedophile rings. What's the guy? The rich guy down there in Florida. They had a whole island where they were taking kids. And the guy got a slap on the wrist jail sentence. We don't have nothing like that in black society. Look at other societies, family. Let's just keep it a buck. That's why when I see all these other groups come over here and start talking about some toxic masculinity and rape culture in black society, I'm like, you better shut your damn mouth, especially if you are a quote-unquote person of color from one of these other places around the world, because all their cultures have pedophile societies. When you see some of these East Indians talking slick, you go to East India, you can go find a child somewhere. They'll show you where to go get a damn child. You go to Sri Lanka, they'll show you where you can go get a child for sex. You go to Thailand, and I've been to Thailand several times, and you see these white men walking around there with them kids. You go to any spot in Asia, they'll take you somewhere to go get you a damn kid. And truth be told, Africa too. If we go, we're going to have to keep it a buck, unfortunately. Unfortunately. In Africa too. Unfortunately. We got to tell the truth and shame the damn devil. Unfortunately in Africa too. You feel me? Hell yeah, in Mexico. Yes, in Mexico. all over South America, all these places. You can go get you a damn kid. There's nowhere in black society where somebody's going to take you to go get some goddamn kids. You go somewhere around black folks talking about you looking for a kid, you're going to get your ass whooped on sight. We the only people who get down like that. You cannot go anywhere in black American, ADOS, Foundational Black American Society, talking about you need to find you a kid that you can get with. You're going to get your ass whooped on sight. And don't let you go to jail. You go to jail, you're going to really get your ass whooped. Don't let them put their garbage on us when these people have all types of trash going on in their society. We got to stop letting them lie on us and put the garbage and the filth on us that they have in their damn communities. Stop letting these folks. I saw a video the other day. Today, that was on World Star. Some dude, this looked like it might have been in Baltimore or Philly somewhere. I don't know what city it was, but some dude, this black dude, they said he tried to snatch a little girl up and rape her, and the whole neighborhood whooped this dude's ass. This is a video today. It's on World Star. They caught him and whooped his ass. About 4 or 5 people took turns whooping his ass. We don't play that. Other groups, they don't get down like that. They'll take you right to the damn kids. We have been the moral authority for the damn planet, if you want to keep it a buck. That's why everybody comes over here and leeches off us. ADOS, Foundational Black Americans. That's why they bring their ass right over here and getting right up under us. Leeching. Well, the leeching is over. We're circling our wagons and we're going to use our resources to build ourselves up. Everybody else, you're going to have to hold your damn own nuts. It's hold your own nuts time, family. And don't be ashamed. You be unapologetic about letting these other groups hold their own damn nuts. We ain't going to be the moral authority for every damn body else and let them dump their garbage on us. We're going to use all of our strength and our resources to build ourselves up. If they don't like it, tough titty. It's okay. You'll be all right. Hold your own nuts and you hold them tight. Anyway, family, I'm up out of here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go to Tangibles 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, go to tangibles2020.com. Go to tariqelite.com to get those t-shirts. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Go to firstthem.com to get those First Them sweaters and shirts and all that good stuff. I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday.